Rabbosai, the topic of this morning's shir is the topic of chesed. The yeshiva, as you just heard from Rabbi Green, Shlita, is having a yom yin this morning, focusing on the three pillars of the world. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam ameid, al ha-Torah, v'al ha-avoda, v'al gemilas chasadim. As we know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the beginning of Pirkei Avos, first parak, three pillars of the world: Torah, avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Okay, so it's important that we focus on one of those pillars now and try to understand a little bit about Chesed, what Chesed is about, and to try, the goal of this is not just to hear a nice hashkafa, hopefully, about Chesed, but to try to think of ways practically in our lives that we can try to become more Baal Chesed. That term Baal Chesed will come to define a little bit later, but that's the goal of this discussion. So point number one is as follows. If I were to ask you the following questions: is chesed divine?
Yes.
Is it godly? Or is it not divine? It's just interpersonal. It's man to man. Is it like God in any which way? Or is it just like, you know, it's like it's more amongst the chevra? What do you want to say, Salman?
That is the ultimate essence of chesed, because Hashem creating us was the ultimate chesed.
Very nice. Excellent. So I'd like to just present for a minute or two, as Jonathan said correctly now, I think very correctly, the first idea that we have to understand when we think about chesed and talk about chesed is that chesed is divine. Chesed is something which is not just, okay, a bunch of people decide to get together on this world and say, okay, let's be nice to each other, let's be kind to each other, let's scratch each other's backs so that we can, you know, when your back is itching, you want something to scratch your back, so you scratch my back, I scratch your back. Chesed is much, much deeper than that. The Gemara in Sota says the following thing. Rabbi David likes to mention this. I mentioned this in a previous shmuz this year already. It's called imitate Deo, which means to imitate God. Imitate is to imitate. Deo is God, the divine. The Gemara says the following expression: Mahu afata. Just as Hashem is, so too you should be. And the Gemara explains, Masechta Sota and Daf Yudalel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, just like Hashem, Mahu Gomel Chasadim, just as God does Chesed, so to you must be Gomel Chesed. Pizer, you hear me? Just like God is Mevakir Cholim, as we find in the Torah, so to you must be Mevakir Cholim. And Ma Hashem is Menachem Avelim, just as Hashem is covered to the mourners, so too we must cover the mourners. In other words, what the Gemara is clearly telling us is this concept that Chesed is divine. Chesed is not just something which is, you know, amongst chevra, but it's something which is on an amazingly high plane, on a plane in which we're supposed to imitate and try to walk in the ways of Hashem. As Jonathan said correctly, the following thing is very important to keep in mind as well. Why did God create the world? This is a little deep for 9:45 in the morning on a Thursday morning after a Teil Teilah. Why did God create the world? I don't know. He never told me. Yitzchaki, why did God create the world?
Yeah, chesed.
Oh, very good. So, if I were to say, you'd say, how do you know? So the truth of the matter is, you can ask the same question on the Maharal, who writes in various different places, the following phrase, Teva HaTov Lehitiv. Sounds like a tongue twister a little bit. Teva HaTov Lehitiv, which means, the nature of the good one is to do good. If you think about it, almost this whole world is full, is replete with Hashem doing chesed for man, and not just for man, for animals. Raise your hand if you went to the aquarium with me and okay, three's a charm. Okay, so the rest of you went to the manly hike, Kol HaKavod to you, but the
aquarium is more manly.
Whatever, the less tough ones among us went to the aquarium. So I don't know, I was with a Talmud who's not in this room right now, so when he comes hopefully to the next year, I'm assuming he'll come to one of the next two slots, I'll give him a shout out. I was with a certain fellow in the aquarium, and we were looking up at the fish, and we saw a school of fish in one location. Pasha, it's hard to imagine how many fish were in that one little school, in one little piece of the sea, not even an ocean, of the Red Sea, where we went to see in the aquarium. Pasha, it looked like a million fish, and I'm not even exaggerating. They were just swarms and swarms. And how do they eat? The answer is, there's only one answer. Hashem provides for them. You ever see ants crawling on the ground? There's billions of ants in the world. How do they eat? I forget. little ants. How about, like, you know, let's talk about bigger people. That's maybe harder to feed in a certain sense. Bigger organisms, like elephants. Who feeds the elephants? Who feeds the tigers? So say, what do you mean? They pray. They find prey. They eat their own animals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for every single living organism. Hashem is the ultimate Baal Chesed. Everything in this world that happens to us in this world is a manifestation of Hashem's Chesed to us in this world. And therefore, Chesed is divine. Point number one. When we do Chesed, we try to become Baal Chesed, as we'll see soon. It's to try to imitate Hashem and try to walk in the ways of Hashem. V'alachta bidrachav. Walk in God's ways. God's a Baal Chesed. Kaviyachol. God's the ultimate Baal Chesed. Danny, you with me? So too should we be. Point number one. I want to just hammer this point home with a very, very sharp, beautiful thought. From Parshas Noach. Shama, tell me what happened in the Teva. What was Noach busy doing in the Teva?
Feeding
the animals. How many animals in the Teva? Rough estimate. Thousands? No doubt, there are thousands, right? Every species, Tame Tar. And what's Noach busy doing the entire time? He's feeding the animals. Abosai, simple question. Was it natural or supernatural that the animals fit the Teva? How long is the Teva? 300 amos long. 300 amos long is going to fit thousands of animals on one floor? Makes no sense. It's impossible. Api Teva. But what happened? Hashem made a lake, correct or incorrect? Donnie, correct or incorrect? Abosai! Simple question. Why did Noach have to be busy the entire time feeding the animals? Why couldn't Hashem just, once there's already an ace there, to bring the animals in, so make an ace, the animals have food for them also, or just give them their food at a certain time. Why is Noach busy the entire time feeding the animals? And the answer is, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. It means that Hashem created the world on the foundation of Chesed. Well, listen carefully. The world was destroyed. Why was it destroyed? Ki Hishchis Kol Basar, Estakal Haaretz, because they ruined Chesed. Instead of taking care of each other, helping each other out, what they do? What they do, Rabbi Osei? They stole from each other, the Gemara says in Maseches. Sanhedrin, very good. They stole from each other, they cheated from each other, they lied to each other, they corrupted, they made the world absolutely devoid of Chesed. Oh, you hear this? Hashem says, I gotta build a new world. How am I gonna build a new world? The answer is, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. So Noach is gonna be busy the entire time feeding the animals. You know why? So the world can survive and be reestablished on its proper foundation of Chesed, because that's how the world goes around, that's how the world survives. That's the entire purpose of the world. Okay, so far we have the following. God is the Baal Chesed, the ultimate Baal Chesed. The world is established on Chesed. And one more idea before we get started about Chesed. Just close the heat so I don't pass out this room, please. If you get cold later, we'll put it back on. The third and final introductory remark about the absolute unbelievable nature of Chesed is the following thing. It says in Pirkei Avos, as we know in the same Mishnah I mentioned before, Al Shlosha Dvarim Olam Omed, Allah,
Torah.
Can someone tell me, please, are Chesed and Torah related to each other? Are Torah and Chesed related to each other? Not all at once, please.
Yes.
Yes, they are. How so? How so, please? Help me out. How so? Okay, there's a lot of things in the Torah that talk about Chesed. It's true. It's true. There's one Gemara I'm thinking about in particular that says the following thing. The Gemara, I believe it's also in Masechet Sot, that says the following thing. Torah, Tchilasa Chesed, V'sofa Chesed. It means the Torah begins with Chesed, ends with Chesed. Where does the Torah begin with Chesed? What? Creation of the world. I would have said that. It's a good thought.
Hashem giving Adam clothes.
Excellent. Very nice. The Gemara says Hashem gave Adam and Chava kosnos or, whatever that means, some type of garment or of garb of sorts. Vayal bishem, Hashem garbed them. That's the beginning of Chesed. What's the end of the Chesed? How does the Torah close with Chesed? Where's the final remark of the Torah about Chesed? Where's that? And the answer is
Hashem very Moshe.
Good boy. Shed loy. Valdik. Hashem at the end of Parashat Zos Abracha buries Moshe. Vayikboro so bagai. Begins with Chesed, ends with Chesed. Says the Maharal, be Prague. Well, if Torah begins with Chesed, and the Torah ends with chesed. It's like bookends. What do bookends mean? It means that they define the nature of the book. There's the beginning of the book, the end of the book. If the beginning is chesed and the end is chesed, is maral, and the entirety of Torah, the whole essence of Torah, is chesed. Wow, unbelievable thing. So we have like this, an amazing concept. We have Hashem, the ultimate Baal Chesed. We have the world created, established for Chesed. Olam Chesed Yibane. And the Torah, which is the lifeline of our people, which is the essence of who we are, as well, is comprised majorly, beginning to end, of Chesed. Fine. Now I want to ask a simple question. Simple question. What is Chesed? And if you say the word kindness, you'll be right, but I need some more than that. What is Chesed? Just give me what to define. Ani rotze definition. Is that in Hebrew? Hagdara. What are you going to say? Perush. Perush again, b'seder. Define, please, for me, Chesed. What is Chesed? What is Chesed? What is not Chesed?
Chesed is selflessness or some form of self-sacrifice.
Very nice. Chesed is selflessness or self-sacrifice. Let's say it's not to the point of selflessness. Is it still Chesed?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the defining criteria to determine whether something is Chesed or not?
It's giving for the sake of giving.
Giving for the sake of giving.
For no alternative reason.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. The first word that you said I want to focus on for a second. I want to actually give you, pardon the pun, you'll see in a second. I want to give you a little sheet. Give you something. This is a Dessler. It is Lichtam Eliyahu. We have a famous thing called Kudras HaChesed. I'd like to just see a little bit. Please pass it around a little bit. Give everyone a copy, please. I'd like to see a little bit of it with you. And just to hone in on a little bit on what Chesed is about. What it's not about. We're not going to see this whole page inside. Don't get nervous. But I wanted to share with you the highlights, the theme of Dessler's Kudras HaChesed. So this is Dessler, the following thing. Think about this and think about this. It's like this. It says of Dessler, there's two kinds of people in this world. There are what he calls the nosnim and the notlim. What's a nosane?
Giver.
A giver. What's a notel?
A taker.
Now everybody has some aspects of give and take in their existence. Everyone has some of those things. There's no such thing as a person that only gives and never takes anything for himself. And there's no such thing as a person that only takes and never ever gives something to himself. The more you're a giver, says the Dessler, the more you're a no-sane, the more you live chesed. The more you're a no-tell, the more you're a taker, the more you're looking to find ways to pull things in your direction and to get, what am I getting out of this? What's in it for me? The more you are not a chesed, not in the realm of chesed, but in the realm that's antithetical to chesed. Just while we're on this topic, before we get to the two things I want to see in here, he points this out when it comes to marriage. Marriage, classic. Yeah? What's marriage about? So, what's marriage about? What do you mean? I have to find the most beautiful girl who has the most beautiful whatever that's going to take care of me in the best way. She'll make me the best meals. She has to be a chef that went to school, a chef school for a few years at least to make sure that I like the food the way I like the food, obviously. And, you know, let's not forget the fact that she went to school to be a masseuse, because I need massage once in a while after all, because, you know, I work very hard in my family business. And, you know, if a person goes into marriage with an attitude, what's in it for me? That's a recipe for destruction. That's a recipe for a chas v'shalom, a non-successful marriage. When a person approaches marriage, and again, this is a little bit early, premature for some of us in this room, I know. There are some people, I know Omer is already in the parasha, but most of us are not yet in the parasha. So if marriage is about what's in it for me, if marriage is about what am I getting out of this marriage, as opposed to what I'm giving to this marriage, then that's not a healthy way to have marriage. Dessler points that out. He points out the word Ava. What's the word Ava mean?
Have.
Well, what's the source of the word Ava?
Give.
Have. Have is to give. The source of love is from giving, not from taking. When I give to somebody, I love them. Why is there a great bond between parent and child? Because parent invests and child, parent gives to the child. When my son woke up last night at 12:30 at night, and he was crying, he wanted a bottle, he wanted to come to my bed. True story, this happened. So I went downstairs, I picked him up, I brought him upstairs to my bed, I put him in my bed. I love the kid, not because of that, and not despite that, but the more a person gives to the next person, the more the bond that is forged between the two. So Dessa points out that chesed revolves around giving, as opposed to the opposite. Netila is the opposite of chesed. I'm not going to read the entire thing inside with you. I want to just read with you inside, if you don't mind. We'll just see on the left-hand side of the page 35. He has one story. He has two stories. The first one I'll skip because of the interest of time. The second one I'll do with you, which is a story about the Chavetz Chaim. Second paragraph down, left-hand side of the page 35. Hamasa Hasheni Sapra Rabbeinu Yisrael Meir HaKohen Zatzal Baal Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim Ala Od Zachinu Leroz Zatzalik HaKadosh Zem Dorinu Odessa. So we had this chus of seeing the Chavetz Chaim. Who Lo Chafetz Lo Parnes B'Torah So. He didn't want to make Parnasa from his Torah. Vayi Lechen Vani. You know what he did? He opened a little supermarket, a little store. Aschor Shemachar Ita Ameuleh. He got the best merchandise possible. Hamidah Gedusha. When he gave out a certain amount of wheat, he was giving out wheat, he gave a very, very beautiful gadush, very, very rich, overflowing measure. V'amishkal, and if there was a question of weighing something, so he always weighed it, he always weighed it in the benefit of the buyer as opposed to himself. Psh, obviously what happens, everyone goes to the store. Who doesn't want to go to the Chavetz Chaim store? First of all, he's the Chavetz Chaim. Second of all, he's got the best merchandise. Third of all, he has the lowest prices. Fourth of all, whenever there's a suffix, it goes in my favor. Who's not going to go there? If I keep my store open, how are the other owners of their stores going to make a living? He made it a rule. I'm only going to open my store for an hour or two a day. Aday Arviach is a prudos. I'll make a couple of bucks, a couple of rubles during that time. Day parnasa sol liyomo b'tzimtzum, enough to just to get through one day. V'yizgiren ha'acharechen, I'll close the store afterwards. L'man tia parnasa mitzui gam l'achem, so that other people also got parnasa. V'yizbon ha'acharech, he waited to see what happened. V'yar ki yinei gam b'zelo, it didn't help. Each person made it their business, dafka shop at the time, those hour or two, the Chavetz Chaim store was open, they dafka shop then. What do you do? He closed up his shop. Stop being a storekeeper anymore, I'm not going to make a call anymore. He doesn't want to cause pain to another store owner. Abosai, when stores go out of business, why do they go out of business usually? Why?
Competitors.
What?
Competitors.
Who?
Not enough business.
They don't have enough business. They can't make ends meet. They go bankrupt. Well, yeah, that's why stores go out of business. Who ever heard of a store going out of business because there was too much business? The answer is no one, except for Chavetz Chaim. Why? Because he wasn't taking to take. Even the taking he was doing, as you see in the story, was taking in order to give. Rabbi Yossi, what's going on over here? He wasn't. Everyone has to take a little bit. That's what explains though, but what's the motivation of my taking? Am I taking because I'm a taker? Am I taking because I want to grab for myself? Am I taking because I need more for me, and I the more I can get, the better for myself? Or no? I'm taking that little bit. I have to take a little bit. But you see my motivation. I'm only taking so that really in reality I could give. I want to talk with you for a little bit about different levels of chesed. I'm going to try to share some ma'asim with you to illustrate different levels of chesed. Because Abosai, listen carefully please. Chesed is a midah. All midahs. What does the midah mean? What does the word midah mean? What does a midah mean?
Measurement.
Means a measurement. Every midah has a certain measurement. That means a person could be a baal gaiva, or he could have a little gaiva, or he could have an intimate bit of gaiva. That's a midah. Gaiva is a midah because depending on how much of that midah you have, that determines the nature of the person that you are related to that midah. Chesed as well has different extremes, has different levels of chesed. Some people do a little chesed, and that's their chesed. You can't touch that from them. And the other people that are mamas, we call baal chesed. What's a baal chesed? Jesse, what's a baal chesed? He doesn't just do chesed. He's a baal chesed. He's what does the word baal mean?
Owner.
He's an owner of chesed. What does that mean? He owns chesed. I mean, he doesn't just do chesed when chesed comes his way, but he's proactive. He seeks out opportunities to go do chesed. I'd like to give some examples. Practical examples. Danny Steinberg, where do you live this year?
Shraga,
perfect, good answer. Who else lives on Shraga's campus? Besides Jason Wiener, who else lives there? Besides your names, besides the Shraga, besides the Shiratora Shraga, who lives on this campus?
Gruss.
Okay, perfect. I don't want stats or numbers over here. How many of the Gruss families have little babies? I'll tell you the answer is probably Knenhar a lot. Maybe half? I don't know. Some have more than one baby? How many of those people go shopping in the store? How often are we walking by the stairs and a lady has a stroller and some packages and a baby and maybe a pocketbook? She's got to get it all upstairs to her room. No. Light bulb. Chesed. No, this is not. I'm not a baal chesed yet. I'm in the elevator with her anyway. She's going down the stairs to the chadar ochel. She's going down the stairs, and I'm also walking down the stairs to the dorms. The stroller that she's carrying, like, push it. I just pick up the stroller. What's the shaila? Why not? I haven't gotten to a baal chesed yet. I'm just. It's a simple act of chesed that literally comes my way. That literally. You okay? It's okay, I'm fine, thank you. Not yet. It's a simple act of chesed that's literally ala derech. What does ala derech mean? Shalom, on the way. I didn't do anything differently to do this chesed. It's just it's on the way for chesed. But fellas, the other extreme, fellas, is the baal chesed. Who's the baal chesed? Baal chesed is always, his antenna are always up. He's always looking for an opportunity. How can I do a chesed now? How can I be meeting to somebody else right now? I'll give you a mashal, a simple mashal. Who here has been to a Machlis' house for Shabbos? A Machlis? Oh, good. You been? Yeah. How did you get to a Machlis' house, Jason?
I walked.
I know you walked, but how did you get invited?
Oh, I mean, just
went up there. It's nothing. Now, a Machlis is a person that davens every single Shabbos at the Kotel. You know why he downs at the Kotel? Probably he likes down at the Kotel. But also, because he likes to invite guests to this house. How many guests? How many people are at the meal?
More than
100 at the meal. This didn't happen like once, one random Shabbos when Jason had to do the Kotel a few weeks ago. This is every single Shabbos. Day in, Shabbos out. 100 people per meal. Every single Shabbos. I'll give you another scenario. This past Friday night, Shoni can attest to this. So I davened in shul, and all of a sudden, I finished mincha before Kol Shabbos. This little guy, he's 18 years old, I never met before in my life, comes over to me and says, "Can I come to your house tonight for the meal?" Gotta be honest, it's a little awkward. I don't know who you are. Hi, what's your name even? I don't know your name. So I said yes, without even asking my wife. I actually sent my son ahead. When we got home, just to tell my wife that he was coming, so they could set a place for him at the table, so he wouldn't feel awkward when he got there. But that's not a baal chesed. AJ, Aaron Jr., whatever his name was. His name was actually Kagan. He's a descendant of the Chavetz Chaim. It's a Kohen. His fellow, it was ala derech. That's not a baal chesed. I said yes to someone that asked me on the spot, made me feel awkward. If I wouldn't let him come to my house, it would be like a weird situation. So So I said, yes, of course he could come to my house. But again, the extremes are the following. Am I a person that's looking to do chesed, that's a baal chesed? Am I just doing chesed as it comes my way? Hopefully, the gross lady walking down the stairs helping with the stroller. The lady the classic situation where, you know, the old lady is needs help crossing the street or bringing her package to the room. That's good. That's also chesed for sure. But a baal chesed, that's not. I'm going to show you one of my favorite chesed stories. Shall listen to this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiya L'Vorah. Thanks for the chesed. One of my daughters, God bless her. So she was once invited to like a class gathering in someone's house. This daughter, I won't say which one of this, happens to be a very, very neat girl. Clothes are always folded. Room is always spotless. Whatever she eats, she cleans up after herself. Very neat girl. She came into this person's house, and she was mamish scared. Everything was absolute wreck. There was laundry flying everywhere. It seemed like it hadn't been cleaned in a long time. My daughter was just nauseous from being in the room. But what are they going to do? They had no choice. They're at the girl's house. They had the event. All of a sudden, they're sitting on a table, and the girl brings out, I got my facts for this, biscotti with raisins in it. My daughter hates raisins. And she would never eat in that house in 100 million years because she was nervous and always crawling in the food. And the biscotti's on the table, and everyone's looking at the biscotti. Ay, what's going to be? And Baruch Hashem, my daughter and one or two of her friends also realized, you know what? If no one eats this biscotti, the girl is going to feel terrible. She baked this biscotti with raisins, which my daughter doesn't like. Just the chas at that point. She's going to feel terrible. So she went for the dive, reaches out her hand, picks up a biscotti, takes a mazono, takes a bite. She left, you know, she had a little bit. I think a few of her friends saw her do it, and they also took a couple of biscotti also to make her feel good. She came into my house. She ran straight to the bathroom. She almost felt like she had to throw up. That's how bad the situation was. I heard the story after that. Mamash ran over to give her a big kiss. I said, my sweet daughter, what a tremendous chesed that you did. You don't realize. Imagine how the girl would feel after the entire event in our house. And that one biscotti with raisins would have been touched by anybody in the entire room. How would they feel? They feel like terrible. And then she would start thinking, maybe people don't trust, they don't like my food, they think I'm bad, this, that. Abu said, this is levels of chesed. We're almost there, we're getting to the punchline. I need some help here. Some questions, some thoughts, some comments. How powerful is chesed? How powerful is chesed, Dani?
Very powerful.
Very powerful, good answer. Prove it. Prove the power of chesed. Prove it. Prove the power of chesed. So the truth is, we can prove it in a lot of different ways. From big to little. How many stories are there in the Holocaust of people whose lives were saved because they every morning they went to the guard and said good morning with a smile. And the guard saw them and saved their lives because both of us that were at Yad Vashem a few weeks ago with Rabbi Teller Shlita told us a story like that also. About a fellow who was about to go up to his, he's a lawyer, and about to go to adjudicate a case or to defend the case, whatever it was. And the guard said, don't go! If you go, they're going to kill you. Don't go. Just go out the third floor, jump and escape and run for your life. That's what he did. Why? Because every morning this fellow would come in and he would be nice and friendly to the guard. A small little chesed, how far does it go? It saves his life. Chesed, fellas, has an unbelievable ripple effect of chesed. You never know. You do a chesed once, you never know where it's going to go. And I tell you a gewaldic story that I saw last night in preparing for this year about the length and how far chesed could go. Listen to this maysa. There was a rav who passed away a few weeks ago from Bnei Brak. His name was Rav Yaakov Galinsky. He was a magid. a giant Jew. He was taken to Siberia during World War II and barely survived Siberia, not much by the skin of his back, the freezing cold, as was described, 40 degree below weather in Siberia. Once, while he was in Siberia, fellas, listen to this mice Omer. They had rations of soup. Not big rations, not big portions. Okay, a ration of soup is coming his way. All of a sudden, there's a fellow, a not yet religious Jew. His name is Cholev. Cholev comes over to this Rav Galinsky and says, "I'm starving. Can I please have some of your soup?" Again, these are not big bowls of soup where everyone's like, you know, it's not like a massive bowl they're going to give you at, you know, Cafe Rimon, a massive big bowl of soup with cheese inside of it and, you know, bread to melt in. Ugh, a little tiny cup of soup. A Jew comes to him and asks him for a favor. Galinsky says, okay. And he gives him part of his soup to Cholev. End of part one of the story. Fast forward a few years. Rav Galinsky comes to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Galinsky is in the beginning of the establishment of Eretz Yisrael. It's very well known. This is fact. The Sephardim in the room can attest to this. Fact is that the government at the time and the whole overall feeling of the country was one of unfortunate, very, very secular Zionism. So much so that there were missions to take shiploads of people as they came into the country, particularly Yemenites and Sephardim, take them straight to the kibbutz, shave off their payas, and make them as absolutely far from Yiddishkeit as possible. And there was some rabbanim at the time, Brian Small Shlita, who were trying their best to save these lives, these Jewish neshamas. The Chazon Ish was among them. So the Chazon Ish sent Rav Yaakov Galinsky and a few others to some of these camps to try to see if there was any religious families there that wanted Jewish education for their children so they could help save them from literally religious absolute assimilation. Rav Galinsky goes with a few of his friends to one of these camps. He comes to the camp. It's locked and sealed. He can't get in. There's no way to get in. Guards. It's sealed. They're not stupid. They realize that if it's open to the public, the people will escape. They can't get in. They go back to the Chazon Ish and say, "Chazon Ish, we try to go save these kids, we can't get in." Says the Chazon Ish, "Go back, dig a tunnel from the outside, get into the camp, in the tunnel, and you'll get in. You have no choice, you have to get in." Okay? The Chazon Ish says, "We do." So Galinsky goes back, he and his friends dig a tunnel, they come into the camp. They're looking around the camp, and all of a sudden, within minutes, people are coming up to them. "Who are you? How'd you get here? What are you doing here?" "We're here, we want to see if there are any parents that want to send their children to religious schools. We want to try to see if we can help save some neshamos over here. Get out of here, who wants you here?" All of a sudden, Galinsky's waiting there, and they're about to throw him out. And he hears one guy saying to the next guy, Let's see what Cholev says on the matter. Cholev. That name sounds familiar. He waits a few minutes, and that fellow Cholev, the same fellow who Rav Galinsky gave some of his soup to in the Siberian camp, comes and stands next to Rav Galinsky. He pulls him over to the side and says, "Listen, I'm here trying to save some Jewish neshamos. Are there parents here that want to send their kids to religious schools and not to be totally assimilated into the secular Zionist culture?" Took him to the side, they went around one by one, and 65 families, mother, father, and children, and they have the children all together, were saved on that day, taken out of that camp where they would have mamish been totally made absolutely religious. When they were brought out and saved, and their grandchildren are probably walking around this country today smiling, hopefully many of them from. Whoa! How big was the bowl of soup? I don't know. Maybe the entire bowl of soup was like this size. And how much did you give him? I don't know. Not the whole bowl, because he would have died if he gave this whole bowl. A little bit of soup. And look what happens from a little bit of soup that Rav Galinsky gave to Cholev. 65 families and their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Who knows how many Jewish lives were saved because of a little act of chesed. A little good morning. And most of the time, you come into yeshiva in the morning. Come upstairs. Go over to the guard. "Hi, guard. Good morning." Not because one day he wanted to save our lives, or one day he wanted to show us something on his computer, or loy dema. Just because because it's a simple act of chesed. Good morning, a smile. Do we know how far a smile can go? My wife had a student who passed away. It's a joke. I need seven. Fine. My wife had a student who passed away. Her name was Aviva Aryeh. She was a Sephardi girl. Aleha Shalom. She went to Mechala down the road. And she came back to home for Pesach in April of her year in Israel. She was your age, first year in Israel. She developed, unfortunately, she was totally healthy, totally fine. She developed, I think, pneumonia, turned into a staph infection, and within like a week after she came home, she passed away. Shem Yirach. Went to SKA, lived in Farakaway, right near us. I knew her very well. Used to babysit for my kids. A wonderful girl. Only daughter of her family. Youngest child. Terrible, terrible tragedy. Lo aleinu. No one should know from such tragedy. After she passed away, they put together a book. Her friends put together a book of memories. She was young, she was 18 years old, but her friends put together a book. And one of the most amazing inscriptions in that book, I don't have the quote here with me, I'm sorry, is a friend describing how whenever there was a chagiga or an event where there was dancing, Aviva was always the one to go over and pull someone into the circle. And she had an amazing smile, this girl. She would just smile at you. And as soon as she smiled at you, that's it, everything was fine. Even though you could have been going through a difficult time, a challenging moment, a small smile. There was an Aviva smile. There was a smile that mamish lit up people's faces, lit up people's lives. A smile, what's a smile? It costs nothing. What do you hear about a smile? And that's Nassim Finkel, Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir Yeshiva, passed away a few years ago. Every time you saw him, he was smiling. Do you know why he was smiling? It's in his book. Look in the book. Look in the biography of Nassim Finkel from art school. Great book. Great Musa Sefer. Nassim Finkel smiled for the following reason. He had a terrible, terrible Parkinson's disease. He would shake like crazy. You'd see him walking in the street, you'd see like it looked like a fire. Mamish fire walking around. A lot of times children would come to him. He didn't want them to be scared of his shake. So he took it upon himself to smile constantly. So at least when children would come to him, they wouldn't be scared of being around him. Whoa! A Baal Chesed with a smile. With a smile. Two last points. Two closing points. Chesed, fellas, is something that if you do, and when we do, and when we continue to do and become Baalei Chesed, you get more than you give. My favorite story about this is when I was growing up, I was in high school. So my father, Shlita, used to take us, me, my brother, my sister, every Friday to visit two shut-ins in the community, people that couldn't get out. It was always the worst time. We were playing basketball at a very big basketball court at my parents' house, almost like a full-size half-court. Basketball, we'd have like big 3-on-3, 4-on-4s on Friday. I'd go to school empty on Friday. It was great times. It was always like, you know, 4 all, dead at 5. My dad would come by and say, okay, guys, let's go. Haba, low. We're in the middle of the game. It's dead, you know, next one wins. You gotta go. We went to visit Mr. Malka, Zichron Levracha, Mr. Katz, Zichron Levracha. Every time we'd walk out of the house, we'd sit with them and they would tell us about the world of old and beautiful people with unbelievable smiles. And just our coming there, just sitting with them and seeing young life made them feel like $1 million. Every single week. My father would walk out of the house and he would say to us 3 words, which I will hopefully not forget the rest of my life, Bez Hashem. My father would say to us 3 words and they were, don't sell it. What he meant to say is you can't replace the feeling of just goodness that you have when you do a chesed. Don't sell it. It's priceless. Not for a game of basketball, not for any money. Chesed, when a person does chesed, they feel like they should feel like $1 million. My children go every Rosh Chodesh to a nursing home in Beit Shemesh. My wife takes them. I don't take them. I'm in yeshiva usually. When they put on shows, they sing. My tzachi puts on his acrobats and they give him the hand and the old ladies kiss their hand. Then they wash their hands afterwards very quickly. I'm sure the old men and ladies and old ladies don't feel good. But my kids feel like $1 million. They come home, they feel like they mamish did the most amazing thing. Priceless. Priceless. I close the following thought, and then I'll take a question if you have any questions. Close the following thought. Let's see what we have until now. Chesed is divine. The world is created on Chesed, established on Chesed. Torah, bookends of Chesed. What is Chesed? Giving, not taking. Levels. There's the simple acts of Chesed and the Baal Chesed. Rav Machlis going to the Kotel and pulling 100 people is the Baal Chesed. How far does Chesed go? You never know. A little bowl of soup saves thousands of Jews and Jewish lives. And you feel great when you do Chesed. I just want to close a comment. Abosai. Chesed brings the Geula. Psh, not bad. How do I know this? How do I know this? The Gemara says in Maseches, I think it's Maseches Pesachim, if I'm not mistaken. Rashi quotes it in Parashas Lech Lecha. We say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Avraham. The Gemara is a following Chav Mina. Yachol, I might think Chos Min Mekulam, which means instead of the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei ending with the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, I might think, says the Gemara, that it should end with Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham Yitzchak VeYaakov. After all, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. That's what I would think. Says the Gemara, I might think that you're chosing with all of them. No, says the Gemara. Tamalomar v'nivruchu v'cha. What's v'cha mean? V'cha. In you, says the Gemara, Maseches Pesachim, b'cha chosmin. With you, we end off. Meaning what? Pashup Shat in the Gemara is, we end off the bracha v'amos baruch atah Hashem again. Amram. That's the Pashup Shat. The Bali Moser explained a little differently. You know what they explain? Chosmin means seal off. Seal off refers to the sign at the end of the Geula, at the end of Galus. How do we end off the Galus? What's going to bring about the Chasima of the Galus? And the answer is Chesed. The Midah of Avraham Avinu is the Midah of Chesed. B'cha Chosmin. Do you want to know how you're going to bring the Geula about? Through Chesed. If we do Chesed for each other, we look out for each other, we take care of each other. In our rooms, in our homes, on the streets, wherever we have chances, opportunities of Chesed. And we transform ourselves from just doing acts of Chesed to becoming Baalei Chesed. Then there's a ripple effect and a domino effect. And he's doing Chesed, he's doing Chesed, and they're all doing Chesed. It's a Chesed machine in the world. Can you imagine the world? B'cha Chosmin. That will bring about the Geula. Hashem should be mezakeh us all, each one of us, in our own way, to go from being doers of Chesed to Baalei Chesed, please God, affecting others around us, feeling the great feeling of Chesed, and being Zoche to dance with Mashiach when we ultimately experience the ultimate Geula that will come about through Chesed. Have a wonderful day, guys. Thanks for listening.